if the master plan is not accomplished within the next 40 years, what condition will the coast be in then?
Well, I think the footprint of the coast will be a lot smaller.
I'd go so far as to say that even if it is achieved, there's a very good chance that Louisiana, as we know it, isn't going to be here.
We probably have somewhere in about a 5 to 8 year window to make some significant changes.
When Louisiana officials unveiled the $50 billion master plan for the coast, a 50-year program that could prevent most of southeast Louisiana from sinking into the Gulf by the end of the century, they knew one of their most important priorities would be getting reliable, long-term funding through Congress. While acknowledging $50 billion isn't a small sum, they felt once Congress knew what was at stake, the money would flow. After all, what would the nation do if it lost the infrastructure protecting 90% of its domestic energy supply, 50% of its refining capacity, and a port vital to the economies of 32 states? And that's just what Louisiana's coast provides. But 2 years later, the only eyes that have been opened belong to state officials and the national green groups helping them. In the words of John Barry, the author and member of the state's Coastal Restoration and Protection Authority, when it comes to getting help from Congress, Louisiana can forget about it.
Given the fiscal situation in Washington, it's just not realistic to expect any significant help from that area, from the federal government. And the fact remains the Tea Party is against spending money. And I don't think they look kindly in general on spending money down here. Short term, we're okay. Medium term, we're probably okay. It's the longer term, 10 years out and beyond that I think are the biggest concerns.
That short and midterm outlook is good for two reasons: better coordination of coastal agencies on the part of the CPRA, and the largest oil spill in the nation's history, the Deepwater Horizon disaster of 2010. In fact, that disaster's ultimate long-term impact on the coast may end up being salvation, not destruction. The state has already received $1.4 billion from criminal fines BP agreed to, money that can only be used for river diversions and barrier island restorations. Still to come are two other pots of money from the spill. The first will be from fines for the company's violation of the Clean Water Act, an amount currently being litigated in federal court. That sum, estimated to be anywhere between $10 and $15 billion, will be divided among the five Gulf states under provisions of the Restore Act. Experts on that law say Louisiana could see direct payments of anywhere between $700 million to $5 billion, but could also benefit from billions more being spent on the coast through shares going to federal agencies that will work on Gulf restoration. The third pot will be from what is called the Natural Resources Damage Assessment, which basically counts up the damage done to everything from marsh grass to fish and presents a bill to the responsible party. Estimates on this payment range up to $5 billion to Louisiana. If the best-case scenarios work out for Louisiana, the CPRA could be looking at a windfall of $10 to $12 billion. And, beginning in 2017, the state will start receiving about $200 million a year from offshore energy production royalties under the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act, better known as GOMESA. Now, that's a lot of money, but still well short of the $50 billion needed. More importantly, it doesn't reach the level of reliable long-term funding the CPRA says is important. Reliable and long-term are funding keys because the projects in the master plan can't be thrown together at the last minute. They require years of careful research, design, and planning. If funding shortages cause the schedule outlined in the master plan to be broken, projects may not just get postponed, they could be canceled. Because every year that slips by, the areas that need to be rebuilt grow wider and deeper, eventually becoming too big to fix. And that means the Gulf will take an even larger bite out of the state.
No one is under any illusion that we have funded the plan or that we should be able to count on that money.
David Muth, National Wildlife Federation.
Part of what we have to do is to continue to make the case that the money has to be found. You know, one of the reasons that national environmental organizations are here is because we believe that it's critical that that investment be made for coastal Louisiana.
The best ideas to surface for closing that gap both involve the oil industry. Louisiana's congressional delegation is working to gather allies among other coastal states to raise the annual $500 million cap on Gomesa. They'd like to raise that to 37% of each year's total. That would cost the oil industry nothing, since it doesn't raise the excise taxes they pay the federal government, just changes the way those taxes collected are spent. Opposition could come from non-coastal states, because that will reduce the share of the royalty money going to the general fund. Another idea being talked about is an old one, having Louisiana place a fee on oil and gas transported through the state. The oil industry has always opposed that idea because it would be an added expense for them. But unlike past attempts to push such a measure through the legislature, this time the oil industry may have an incentive to tax itself.
You have an industry that knows that this is not just a threat to wildlife, and it's not just a threat to small coastal communities, it's a threat to their very infrastructure. And it's not just the infrastructure, it's not just the wellheads and the pipelines, but eventually it's the entire refinery corridor. We're talking about the possibility that, you know, huge refineries will have to be relocated because they're no longer sustainable.
And recently, a new but long-awaited funding source proposal has actually been made, suing the oil and gas industry for the damage they did to the wetlands. The Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority, EAST, filed that historic suit in July, claiming the loss of wetlands increased storm surge, which makes their job of protecting citizens more expensive. Not surprisingly, many of the state's political leaders, staunch friends of oil and gas, have opposed that effort. But if the suit goes forward and the oil companies see they may be on the hook for tens of billions of dollars, that could open the door for all sorts of cooperation, including a Louisiana excise tax on production and transport. Coastal advocates know finding that financial solution can't be put off, even with all those windfalls coming down the pipeline from BP. The final tally from those settlements could be well less than the best-case scenario, and even if they match optimistic estimates, they won't stop the state from sinking or the Gulf from rising. There are no cures for those events. There's just a plan that could allow the state to adapt to the changes so folks can still live here in the next century. And that plan costs $50 billion. The state doesn't have yet.